Good morning, listeners. Welcome to Christ Today. Oh, it's a beautiful day, and we're coming up on Christmas, and to help us think about all the things of Christmas, what is it about, what does it mean, we have Pastor Lloyd Tremaine here, and we are so glad that he has come to visit us from Paradise Community Church of the Nazarene. So, Pastor Lloyd Tremaine, very glad to have you on the show. Welcome. Let's just say a little prayer, and then we'll get to the things about Christmas.
Wonderful.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all these things, for all the understandings you give us. We give you thanks for the love you shower upon us and the many, many things that are just blessings in our life. Oh, Heavenly Father, we give you thanks in the name of Jesus Christ, and amen. Pastor Lloyd, thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be with you, John.
Oh, it's great to be here, especially right at this time of the year. It's Christmas. When we think about Jesus Christ, we give him honor, we give him glory as best we understand how. And Pastor Tremaine, what do you think about Christmas? Is there some just general things that we could be aware of?
Well, I'm a pastor.
Yes, sir.
So I've got a lot of things
I mean,
in there. That's okay. No, I can sure talk about a lot of things, but I know that part of my past has been wrapped up in Christmas. And a lot of the things that I learned and understood and heard as a child came with me all the way through my life. And I was very fortunate that I was able to have a Christian family that I grew up in because they celebrated Christmas. Christmas.
Yes.
We attended Christmas services. We participated in things that had Christmas events. I was a singer, so I had the opportunity to sing in many different situations. I played an instrument, clarinet and saxophone. So I played in a lot of bands and orchestras and groups. And so from a very young age, I was very actively involved in many different aspects. I don't think I was ever one of the sheep. However, I think I played shepherds, and they probably wouldn't let me be an angel, but they allowed me to be a part of Christmas, and so it was a lot of fun to do that.
Yes.
And as I've grown through life, I've come to realize that there's a lot more than I understood as a child about the Christmas story and about the things that were involved. And as a pastor, I don't want to be one of those guys that just brings on the blitz of all the glitz. I don't want to be a blitz guy that is just looking at all the stuff around us without any attention to the things in the past. But I also don't want to be one of those guys that is so stuck in our history and in our theology that we miss out on just the simple joys of every day as we walk with each other and we walk with God. So a part of my history is very simply, I grew up in the United States of America. I grew up on the West Coast. Actually, I'm a Seattleite living in Paradise. What a transition. And for Christmas gatherings, we had our whole family around us. We had food made by our matriarchs. All the moms would get together and make our food for us.
Yeah.
We played games. We sang carols. We, of course, went shopping, like probably most of us do. Sometimes I would sit on Santa's lap or I'd watch Christmas programs and sports on TV, you know what? I still watch sports sometimes on TV around the Christmas season because for some reason they plan football games right on that time. But that's not all I emphasize, and that's not all I look at. Those are just some things that I've grown up with.
The common American experience, really.
Well, for many people, I think I was extremely blessed in our home to be able to have a good dad and good mom that were willing to be able to stand up and make positive choices in our community. And to be the kind of people that would represent the Christmas spirit all year long.
Right.
Now, they never said it that way, but that's how they lived. And they gave it to me as a part of joy. They gave the spirit of Christmas to me in my life. And, of course, I think God set that up. However, a part of the promises that God has given to us from the past have enveloped me and have challenged me. They have reset my mind about what in the world Christmas really is. And as I sit and I look back through history, I'm going to give you a little bit of history here.
Good.
Looking at some of the things and some of the reasons why now I am a full believer in Jesus Christ. And if I did not have some of these understandings, I may not be really recognizing what Christmas was really all about. Now, yes, there's changes and there's challenges. There's things that go on around our lives all the time. Some people look around and say, hey, what about Santa Claus there, Pastor? What do you think about him? And I'll tell you what I think about Santa Claus. But it's not in a way that is disruptive. It's in a loving way. It's in a caring way. This week I saw a guy on the internet who was going around to places where kids were waiting in line to be able to sit on Santa's lap. And it was at a mall. And he said that he was a Christian and he was going to challenge all their minds. So he started walking around all of these parents and kids waiting to be able to see Santa and began to say, Santa's not real.
Ooh.
Quit going here. He said things like, Jesus Christ is the only reason for the season. Now, yes, he said some good things, some correct things. Mm. However, that may have been an inappropriate way to share the love of God with people.
Sure.
And so as I saw that, it spurred me on again to be able to look and say, what is it as Christians or people who actually have a belief in God, how is it that we can take and say, I know that Jesus is God's Son, and I know that he has come for me in my life, right here, 2016, I know that he's here with me. And I know there's some people that are struggling with different issues in their homes and their families. They've got issues with their bodies and things that are happening to them physiologically or emotionally. We all have struggles.
It's true.
And sometimes around the Christmas season, people have lost loved ones and they're hurting inside from that.
Yeah.
And if they don't have God's peace, it really creates even more issues. Mm-hmm. But I can pray that God will give people peace right now this year, in a very special way, because the Christ of Christmas came to bring peace to all. Mm-hmm. Not just to a couple people that were just really, really nice and he really, really liked them.
That's funny.
It wasn't just a special thing for a couple people. He came to bring peace on earth.
Yeah.
Goodwill toward man. And so sometimes, and I have some friends who have just lost loved ones recently, and so I'm praying that God will give them peace in the middle of their struggles. And maybe some of you who are listening today might be struggling with some specific things in your life. I can pray and say, Lord, I pray that you will give them your peace this Christmas time, that you will give them your comfort, that you will wrap your arms around them, that you'll lift them up and give them hope. Because, Lord, you are the God of hope as well as the God who gives peace. So thank you, Lord, for blessing those of us who are listening even today with your peace, with your hope. And I pray, too, you'll give strength for those who are struggling physically. Thank you, Lord.
That's right.
Well, let me just give you a couple just ideas about some of the reasons why I've chosen to follow Jesus Christ. And some of those have come directly as a result of Christmas. Learning about Christmas and the background and the history of it.
Oh, interesting.
I know that when I first began to consider being a Christian as a child, I wanted to ask a lot of questions to find out the answers. And maybe some of you have chosen to ask a lot of questions too. Some people have asked about the Bible. Do we take fun and joy and food out of what we're doing for Christmas because we're Christians?
Mm.
Absolutely not. I think the joy of the Lord is my strength, so I'm going to enjoy everything that he gives me. Anyway, did you know that God promised to do something special for us a long time ago, even before your grandpa was born? Go figure, huh? When he looked at all the world that he had created, he said, oh, it's good.
Oh, yeah.
He saw it, and it was beautiful. It was good.
Yeah.
But some people ask, well, when did Santa come into the picture?
Oh, that's funny. Okay.
Because they don't understand that God began this whole process with purpose.
Right.
And clear back in Genesis,
right.
He gave us some promises from his word that he was going to provide for people. And that's a part of maybe our present giving, is wanting to provide for each other. But maybe not. God, though, however, had a plan to give us a wonderful gift. And it was a gift that was going to keep on giving. It wasn't just a one-time gift we unwrap and then stick in a closet somewhere. We put it into a bin to go into a Salvation Army place. But it's something that God's gift is going to keep giving us all year long and all of our life as long as we trust him and follow him. Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't long before people began wondering about God forgiving them and giving them a life that was going to be better than just what they had because sin had come into the world.
Mm.
And that brought all kinds of disruption between God and man. And it caused all kinds of people to say, well, wait a minute, I thought everything was good. He said, yeah. Well, there's more to it than that. God had protected those who wanted to believe in him, that were going to trust in his ways. And he said, I want to make a covenant with you. And here's my covenant. If you will follow these simple things, and I'll just give you 10, just so you can remember. You can keep them on each one of the fingers of your hand so you won't forget what they are, okay? You don't have to put anything around your neck. You just count your fingers. You'll be able to. If you can follow these 10 things, then I will know that you really want to follow me and love me. And because I love you and want you to be able to have a relationship with me, just do those simple things, and it will help us in our relationship together. And so people began to do that, and they went through people like we call the ancestors. Abraham was one of those ancestors.
Yeah.
And God made some amazing promises to him. He said things that were unbelievable at that time, saying that his seed and his offspring were going to bless all the nations of the earth. His yes. seed, a part of who he was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But then he also talked to a man named Moses. And he said to this man, he said that you will be able to declare the praises of him. Of who? Another person, Micah, one of the prophets God spoke to, and he said, there will be born in Bethlehem of Judah this one that I will send. Well, that's kind of odd, really? And then he said, he's going to have a throne in 2 Samuel 7:16. He will have a throne, a kingdom, and a dynasty, or a house, starting with King David, that will last forever. So God actually wants more than just a couple things. He wants to actually bless us with more than a couple things? Yes, he does. And he started promising to those who were following him and listening to him and even choosing to do simple things he asked them to do. He said, I want to bless you with more. You've heard that phrase, right?
I have, yeah.
I want to bless you with more. God wants to bless us with more than we think we can get from him because he has more than we think that he can give us.
That's funny and true.
He is amazing in the way that he gives to us. And then when David came along, God promised to King David that a special one was going to come up through his lineage, and it was going to be one that would fulfill everything that God had been promising to his people. That didn't make too much sense to people. That didn't make a whole lot of sense to many people. But David trusted God, and he said, okay, if you want to do it, then let's do it. It's amazing to me. I've been doing a study in Wednesday nights now for a couple years in the book of Isaiah.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I encountered as a child, I encountered this as well. There was a special scripture that was given in Isaiah chapter 6 that talks about this one. And it says that he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. And that the whole world would possess and have an eternal blessing. Now, he was talking about people, but it's incredible that he's going to cause this one to come up that would have all of those labels attached to him. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. He was going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, Zechariah said. Wait, this was hundreds of years before this was going to happen.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Micah was many years before that. Here comes this wonderful thing that is going to happen that God is going to fulfill in his promises clear back to Abraham and things that he said clear back in Genesis even about how this one was going to step on the head of a serpent.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Some amazing things, promises that were coming through God's word. It began to make sense to me as a child that God was making promises to people so that they would recognize he was actually working on their behalf. Sometimes I used to wonder, Well, how am I going to know if God is really wanting to do something good for me or in our lives? And as I started to read back through the Bible, I started to realize God has been working on these things for a long time because we're really slow at learning.
That's funny. It's quite true.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Go ahead.
And he has more for us. That's the great part. As a matter of fact, there are scriptures in the Old Testament, and I can't give you all of them because of time constraints. However, there are some, like in Zechariah chapter 9, he says that this one will come riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, righteous and having salvation, coming with gentleness. Oh my goodness. It started making more and more sense to me. The more I read the prophets and what they were speaking about this one who is coming, It really began to make sense that God had purpose.
Yes.
Another verse in Isaiah 53 says that he would be pierced for our transgression and crushed for our iniquities. Oh, man, that didn't sound good to me.
No.
But I figured, you know what? I bet God had purpose in that. And then there was another verse that said that he would be resurrected from the dead, for God would not allow his Holy One to suffer decay.
Yes.
Wow. That means that there's even more. There's even more going on. And then in Daniel, the prophet says that he would come again from the clouds of heaven as a son of man. He's going to come again?
Amazing.
Oh, wow. He's not just coming once? You mean he's going to come back again?
Yeah.
Yes. And this was clear back in Daniel. And then in Malachi, it says he would be the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness for all who revere him and look for his coming again. That's in Malachi 4. Again, this is hundreds of years before Christ came. And then in Zechariah 12, it says, he is the one whom Israel will one day recognize as the one they pierced, causing bitter grief. Oh, my goodness. Things started fitting together as I read more and more scriptures, as I heard more and more things about the details of history and what had happened. I began to recognize that there were pieces that I didn't understand about God's plan for us, and yet I knew that surely, at Christmas, God was doing something special. I'd heard about it in Sunday school and church. But it wasn't just about things I heard in Sunday school and church, because it was worldwide. It wasn't just things in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
But it was in my neighborhood. And it was amazing because after I began looking at these scriptures, I said, well, how was this fulfilled? How did God bring his love from another realm into our realm, into our world? How is it that Christmas, that Christ coming would make a difference in the world? And as I began to read some of the scriptures, I went into the New Testament and I said, well, God, show me exactly what it is that you want me to understand. And it was pretty simple. He took me to two specific scriptures. He took me to the first part of Matthew and he took me to the first part of Luke. Well, said, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Wait a minute, that was in Isaiah. And here it was being spoken again in the New Testament. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of his greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Remember I said earlier about peace? He is saying that there will be no end to his peace. He wants to give us peace. And then it says, he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. I was amazed as I read these things, quoted from the Old Testament, and how they were coming true in a new day. It was 400 and some years later that after all the prophets had stopped speaking, after there were no more judges in Israel, there was nothing going on. It was silence from heaven, it seemed. People seemed to be saying, well, what's going on? It must just be about me. God's not available for me. And then he brought some very amazing things to take place. As a matter of fact, go ahead.
The promises? Is that what you refer to?
Yes.
Those are the amazing things.
The amazing things were the promises he was going to fulfill.
Yes.
He was going to show that his love was real in some very specific ways. And of course, I believe that he gave those things to us ahead of time so that we would never have to wonder or question or doubt, even though we do, that we wouldn't have to, because he laid it all out ahead of time so we could see it and hear it and know it was coming, because it was a promise from God.
It was a prophecy and promise. Yes.
Yeah. It was a promise to us that God was going to do these things. And I love the fact that God had to begin with people who were off the grid.
What's that mean?
Well, that's a good question. What it means is nobody would have expected what was coming was going to happen, because it wasn't humanly possible.
Oh, very good. Yes.
And here, yes. I was amazed too that God did choose, however, wisely for the people of Israel, he chose a priest to begin this whole process. And he sent his angel down to speak to a priest when he was in the middle of doing his priestly duties, because this priest had a wife who couldn't bear children. God wanted to do a miracle to begin the process of sending his son, to reveal that he really was going to do what he had promised he was going to do.
Yeah.
And here this priest is standing next to this altar of incense, doing his duties. Zechariah was who it was.
Yes.
And here comes an angel, and Zechariah was gripped with fear. I mean, he was stunned with fear, because he wasn't expecting any angel to pop into the place where he was at. And he was alone doing these things. But the angel said to him, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. For he will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit before he is born." Wow. People don't realize that that could actually happen. But God caused it to.
Yeah.
It says, "He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah was shocked. Number one, that an angel showed up.
Yeah.
But the angel said, "Don't be afraid. I've got some good news for you here." And then the angel said, "I am Gabriel." And I always think of Gabriel as you know, having a little trumpet out there.
Well, it might be a huge trumpet.
It might be a big one. But he says, "I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news."
Yeah.
Now, we're going to hear about this more and more if you look at the Christmas story. It is good news. It is a fulfillment of prophecy that has happened over the years. And now you will be silent. He said to Zechariah, "You won't be able to speak. You're going to be silent until the day this happens because you didn't believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." By the way, there's a bunch of people outside waiting for him, because he was inside the Holy of Holies doing his priestly duty, and no one else was allowed to go in there.
Well,
and he didn't come out.
Yeah. Well, it's real easy, too, to believe or to not believe, because, hey, guess what? Pastor Tremaine, I just saw an angel.
Yeah.
You would believe me, but not everybody else would.
And people would question it, wouldn't they?
That's what Zechariah was facing.
And all these people were standing outside waiting for the priest to come back from doing his duty. And what was he going to say to him? Uh-oh. Now he couldn't talk.
Oh, that's funny. Yes.
The angel actually silenced his tongue so he wasn't able to talk and to tell about what had just happened and what the angel had just said. But you know what?
What?
He had a pen and papyrus.
Yeah.
So he could write some things down to them, but they really didn't understand why he had stayed so long in there. And they realized, though, as he was making signs to them and trying to do his first rendition of sign language, he was trying to talk to them about it and to be able to say things without any words. And he was trying to make symbols and signs and things, and they didn't have a clue what he was doing. And so he had to return home, leaving all those people wondering what in the world he was doing, what was going on in there. But he was unable to talk. But then his wife became pregnant. She was older.
She was older,
She wasn't supposed to have kids. Everybody said she was not able to.
Yeah.
And here she was, all of a sudden pregnant. And they were amazed. And she actually went into seclusion. She was kind of afraid that something weird was going on.
It kind of was.
It kind of was.
Through
she
God,
went into
all
seclusion.
Things are possible, but not through men.
That's right. But the cool part is that Zechariah said, the Lord has done this.
That's right.
And his wife repeated it and said, the Lord has done this to me. He has blessed me with a son. And even though Zechariah couldn't say anything.
Oh, because his mouth.
She was having to try and figure things out on her own. But she recognized that God had done this. And she said, in these days he has shown me his favor and taken away my disgrace from among the people. Well, that was a beautiful thing for a woman to be able to have a child, because back then, that was the only thing that they figured was a blessing from God. If you had children, you were blessed. If you didn't have children, you weren't blessed. And so this was showing that she was blessed.
And Zechariah was a priest at the temple, so this was a little troublesome.
It was very troublesome for him, yes. Yeah. And yet he saw it and he recognized it and he said, wow, this is real. God has done what he just sent his angel to tell me.
That's the same thing that goes on for Christmas. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ at Christmas time is we can see the evidence that it is God's working and not anything that man could have done or predicted through his prophets and prophecies.
Well, he did predict a lot of things through them. He told them. But then people realized that it was him speaking when they started to happen and come true. They began to then say, this was God. Oh, look what he did. Now, not everyone believed, and not all people still today believe.
Yes.
However, God did those things on purpose to be able to show that he was believable, that he was trustworthy, that he would be faithful.
To
and
his promises,
right.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely, and to us, to That's show right. us his goodness and his grace. And I love what happened next, because it's a continuation of this process of what Mary then went through, because all of a sudden an angel came to Mary.
That's right.
Now, Mary was related to Zechariah and Elizabeth.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden an angel came to Mary, and this is what happened there. God sent his angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. That's right.
Yeah, the promises.
It goes right back to answering the promises. And it talks about it here. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her. Again, this is Gabriel. And he said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. What would you have done, John, if an angel came to you and said that?
I think I'd have been shaking and on my knees, actually.
Probably.
Or even,
I think I would
lower.
Have too. Maybe on my face. Yeah.
Right, on my face. Yes.
Well, Mary was greatly troubled.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was probably shocked.
Shaking, yeah.
And shaking.
Sure, shocked.
And these words were coming to her, caused her to say, what in the world is this for me?
Angels.
Who am I?
Yeah.
That this is happening to me.
Thing.
But the angel said, don't be afraid. I like that. He said it to Zechariah. When the angel showed up?
Yes.
Because it was a surprise. And here's Mary. And he has to say it to her. Even though he greeted her with these phenomenal words, he says, don't be afraid.
That seems to be something angels say to humans, is fear not.
Because we're not used to seeing spiritual beings coming
powerful
in our place.
Beings.
Around us, talking to us,
interacting
with us. I don't know how you would do, but sometimes that would make me a little bit apprehensive about what was going on around me if all of a sudden something like that happened.
Like you said, on your face.
Yeah, yes. Probably on my face.
Yes, that would be me.
But then Gabriel went on and he says, Mary, you have been highly favored by God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty amazing. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of God.
So amazing.
Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. There it comes again.
Yep.
And he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. Wow. Now, I know in some people's minds, I know in my mind, one of the first things that happened when I read that scripture was I recognized that Jesus died in history. And I said, well, how could his kingdom never end? Well, let's see and find out what happened. How did that come true? Mary said, how will this be? She was wondering how this was all going to happen.
Yeah.
And then she said, because I'm a virgin. How is this going to take place? Because I'm a virgin. The angel said, Gabriel, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Mm-hmm. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word of God will ever fail. Wow.
That's wow. Yeah.
That's wow. The angel is telling all the things that have happened. And by the way, Mary didn't know this until the angel told her.
Yes.
She didn't have any idea that her second cousin or aunt, whatever she was, this relative of hers that was old and Mary was young.
Yes.
This old relative was even going to have a child. Yes. So for her, it was a shock and a surprise and a joy all at the same time hearing this from this Gabriel, an angel. And she says, may your word to me be fulfilled. Wow. Submitted, humble, calm, at peace with even what God had done through this angel for her. And then it says, then the angel left her. You see, God sometimes sends messengers that won't just say a word and then leave and that's done. Sometimes he will say a message and wait for our response so that he can say, they've got it.
Yeah.
Have you ever read God's word and wondered what in the world it was saying to you? And then all of a sudden you began to understand some things and you said, aha, I get it. I bet God is smiling right about that time because he's given his word for us. And so, you know, here's Mary. You know, I mean, she's shocked because she hears this message. So what's she going to do? She's going to take off. She's going to pack her stuff up. She's going to run over to see Elizabeth.
Yes, Elizabeth.
And so she packs her stuff and she heads off down to the hill country of Judea where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby inside of her was filled with the Holy Spirit and jumped, leaped in her with the Holy Spirit. Wow.
Yeah.
Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, partly because John was there too, and God was filling them. He had purpose for them. He was going to be answering all the questions of history through what was happening in them together. And in a loud voice, Elizabeth said, wow. Here's Mary. Whoa. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Did you notice she knew that Mary had God's son in her?
Yes.
Interesting. That Elizabeth recognized that right away. John, her son, was going to be the precursor to Jesus' ministry and was going to prepare people's hearts by saying, repent and be baptized, every one of you. It's the will of God that this happen in you for his righteousness to be fulfilled. And here's Elizabeth. Before Mary even says she's pregnant, she senses and knows that this is something extremely special. And the other incredible thing to me was the Holy Spirit filled her and caused her to make this proclamation, because it was something that was going to be written about and understood and heard and recognized for years to come. And here I am, as a child, studying and looking at this scripture, saying, wow, God, you really are amazing. You planned this whole thing out from way before it ever happened. And then when it happened, you made sure that it happened. You sent the angels there to make sure that they heard, that they understood. You caused two pregnancies to take place that should not have ever happened. One from an old lady that shouldn't have had it, and one from a virgin. And yet you, God, were fulfilling your plan in a way that was beyond my human understanding.
Yes.
And I was so thankful. It was like an aha moment for me.
Yeah.
It was a, wow, God, look what you have done. The amazing thing that you have done. And of course, Mary goes on to bless the Lord. And I love, we call it the Magnificat. And it's, but it's really just praises to God. She talks about the history and the praise of history and how God has praised his people and been with them. Talks about how those who fear him will be blessed and his mercy will be theirs. It talks about his mighty arm to set them free and to protect them. And then when it comes down to the end, here she is, she's praising the Lord for what he has done for her.
Hmm.
As he promised our ancestors, including Abraham.
Yeah.
You notice that she recognized that these prophecies had come true through her? That it was all happening because of her willingness to say yes? Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then she went home. But I love what happened in Luke. Now, again, Luke is a doctor.
Yeah.
And he has an incredible sense of what's going on around him. And he recognizes details. And so I love the fact that Luke is actually writing about the details of what happened. So you know he was going to research it. He was going to go and read and see and talk to the people and find out all the details. So here comes Luke. And he talks about what happens next, because there's just a little bit of a gap there, about 3 months or 6 months between the time that this happened and the time that Jesus was born.
Oh, yes.
But it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. Doesn't that sound like somebody who is researching the details?
Yeah, so just someone who's aware, too. Because
very aware.
Yeah.
Of the surroundings and what brought this about. Yes. God used perfect timing.
Oh, very true.
Significant timing for this to happen. Otherwise, it would not have happened.
Yeah.
God caused things to happen in this time of history so that this would take place. And Luke even says that this was the first census that was taken while Quirinius was the governor of Syria.
Mm.
And everyone had to go to their hometown to register.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mary and Joseph were pledged to be married together, but they were not living in his hometown. And they had to go clear back there to register, because there was another scripture that said Bethlehem would be the place that the Messiah would be born. Wow. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee in Judea, from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David.
Yeah.
There's another ring.
Yeah.
Another promise. Because he belonged to the house and line of David. Twice he says it there. He went there to register with Mary, who is pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of this was so incredible to me as a kid, recognizing that God laid this out. And it still surprises and amazes me today.
Yes.
How God put every single detail together. Mary and Joseph should not have been in Bethlehem. But the promise of the Messiah was he would be born in Bethlehem.
Yeah.
Again, an incredible transition in my mind, helping me to see that God's word is true from beginning to end.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then it goes on to say that these angels were out in the fields nearby where they lived, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And I love the fact that angels are a part of this. Again, still, not only were they coming to Zechariah, not only did they come to Mary, but they're still involved in this story. And here it says this amazing thing where the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
Sure.
Kind of reminds me of Zechariah and a little bit of Mary there, where the angels had to say some specific words about, shh, calm, quiet, be at peace.
Fear
Don't
not.
Be afraid.
Yes.
And that's what happened. The angels said to them, do not be afraid.
Yeah.
And I wonder sometimes for us in our lives, how many times God might have to try and say to us, don't be afraid. I've got this for you. Don't worry. Don't let other things overshadow my goodness to you. I've got a lot of things. Trust me.
That's a good word.
Trust me. I am worth your trust.
Yeah.
Don't look to the circumstances of life because they're not going to bring you anything good. But look to me, and I will bring you what is best.
Amen.
Not just something nice.
Very, very important words. And I know in my life, I've had those same feelings where I looked back and said, I think I know better. No, I should have trusted my Lord. And
He tells
you what to do. And it's evident from the Word, from the Holy Word, Scripture. And so you learn. And after you learn a few times, you learn that trust growing, and you say, yes, Lord, have your way with me.
It grows more and more. And the more we trust Him and the more we put our trust in Him, our faith grows with it.
Yes.
Some people don't recognize how closely tied trust and faith are to each other.
Yeah.
But trust in God, who is the source.
He's the source, right.
Helps our faith because we know in whom we have believed.
Yeah.
And we recognize that He is worth us putting our trust in Him. No accidents there.
No.
He's got it covered.
He's got it covered. And we can look to prophecy, just like you're going over these prophecies and how they all came to be true.
That's right. I wish I could give you more because there's so many of them. There's hundreds of them. But in these ones, I think it's great because these men who are out in the field were shepherds.
Yes.
These guys were the lowest of the low in their society. They were not the highest of the high. He didn't come to kings and princes and princesses.
Right.
He came to the people that everybody walked right on by. People didn't even hardly recognize them. They were raising sheep that were going to be food. That was it. They really had no respect for shepherds. Shepherds didn't have any social status. They were just guys who were doing a job. Yes, they were being faithful. My sermon on Sunday is about their faithfulness. That, and that's why God sent the angels to them. Now, I love what happened next because this is incredible God takes the situation and moves it beyond one to more. Look what it says. After this glory shone around, they were terrified. The angel said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Now, remember, these guys are not social elites.
Yeah. Shepherds.
But good news is coming to them that will be for all the people.
Yeah.
Maybe they're going to go into publications. Maybe they're going to start writing for the local newspaper.
That's funny.
No, probably not. Today, in the town of David, there's that reference again.
Yeah, David.
A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. They were giving them directions. That was before they had GPS. So this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Again, a place that was very familiar to shepherds.
Yeah.
That's why they knew where to go and where to look.
The manger.
They knew where the mangers would be in town. There was probably only two or three of them in town. That's they knew if they went to a manger that they would find a baby there, and that would be, aha, ta-da! There it is.
Yes,
this must be what the angel was just talking about. I love that. And suddenly, okay, now just an angel is enough to knock the socks off of us. But suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace. Here's that word again.
Peace,
Peace to those on whom His favor rests. When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, hey, let's go see what's in Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that's happened that the Lord just told us about through His angels.
Yes.
Can you imagine the amazement that they had and the shock of not just one, but all of a sudden the heavens were filled with the glory of God's angels and others. It just says heavenly hosts, so it could have been other things besides angels, they were there praising God.
Yeah.
Incredible what God did. Beautiful. But He was fulfilling His promises, and He was doing it to people who were actually awake at that time of night.
Yes.
The social elites were probably all in their comfy beds, all warmed cozy. You know, they didn't have any That's idea what funny. Was on TV at that hour. It was TV. Way past, you know, it had probably already gone to the national anthem and then faded off already. I mean, there was nothing else left for them. Only the shepherds were awake.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So the angels came to the lowest of the low.
The shepherd part, not the
TV. Yes, not the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't take that literally.
That was
okay?
funny.
And then they hurried off, and of course, they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Isn't it incredible what God does? It just amazes me every time I see it. Every time I hear about it, every time I think about it. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds told them. I would have been amazed.
Sure.
I don't know about you, but the people that heard what was going on were amazed.
Yeah.
But Mary treasured these things up in her heart. She didn't go around telling people. The shepherds did. The shepherds became the promoters. The shepherds became the proclaimers. They became God's servants. Glorifying, and it says in verse 20 of that particular chapter there, the shepherds returned glorifying God and praising him for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Not only did they hear about it, not only did they see it from an angel's perspective, but they experienced it personally. Now, I don't
Humanly,
know about you,
yes.
but... My mind jumps right into a song.
Oh, what's that?
Oh, it's a wonderful song. It's a Christmas carol. And this Christmas carol comes to mind right when I see all these things coming true and the way God has brought all of these things to happen.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I sing Away in a Manger.
Oh.
Yeah, I sing things like about God's promises being fulfilled.
Yeah.
But then that song comes to my mind. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing. Now it starts right off saying, joy to the world.
It is joy.
Isn't that what the angels proclaimed? Isn't that now what the shepherds are proclaiming? Joy to the world. Everywhere they went, they were sharing it.
Yes.
The angels brought it in to be able to announce the coming of the King who is going to reign and going to bring peace on earth.
Joy.
Amazing how all of this came. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Jesus was born to be the King. This eternal plan of God had many fulfillments and has had many more throughout time and history, because I think that these promises that came true throughout the Christ have also come true for us to recognize and to choose to invest our faith and trust in God through
joy.
These things.
That is joy.
That is joy, because he did it for us. It wasn't just for the people back then. He did it for all. You guys probably all know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that
the world that
he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He brought it through the successive Davidic king. He brought it about for us to see and to recognize. He brought true things from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David. He brought all this cosmopolitan inclusiveness together for all of us. His great planning, his great thoughts, the way that he designed and planned it and put it together was just incredible. And as a kid, I began to say, this is God whom I can trust. This is one I can follow and give my life to. And I chose to do so. Some insist that the Messiah that the Christians revere is not the same one that the Jewish people look forward to meeting someday.
Huh.
Some years ago, Billy Graham had an interview and was a part of a TV debate with a Jewish scholar. And they were asked this question, is Jesus the Messiah?
Well,
here's Billy Graham, and here's this Jewish teacher and New Testament scholar. And the rabbi explained this. He said, Now, evangelicals believe the Messiah has two comings, one at Christmas and one at his second coming. We Jews believe he will only come once, at a time of peace on earth, just as the prophet Zechariah declared. Since we still experience wars, the Messiah must not have come. Well, Dr. Graham was pretty smart in how he responded.
Very interesting.
Because he said, it also says in the few verses there in Zechariah 12 that they will look on me. Now he said, who's the one that's speaking here? And he said, the Almighty, of course. And Dr. Graham said, that's true, the Almighty. And he responded, it says, Dr. Graham continued saying, they will look on me, the one they have pierced.
Yes.
Now, how did he get pierced? How did Almighty God get pierced?
Yes.
The man didn't know.
Uh-oh.
The rabbi didn't know. He just kind of looked at him strange, said, I have no idea.
Wow.
And Billy Graham said, I have an idea. It was at Calvary that he was pierced. He didn't have any more arguments. The guy couldn't respond to that. It was amazing. The Bible says that in the future, that there will be a second coming of this Jesus that came on that first Christmas.
Yes.
So there is more hope still to come. And when that kingdom is coming, what is the word that he promised over and over again in these things? The word peace on earth. Goodwill toward men.
Yeah.
An incredible amount of things that are still to come, that are still going to happen because of the Messiah fulfilling them in amazing ways. I always ask myself, what would the world be like if there was no Messiah? What would Christmas be like today without a fulfillment of those ancient prophecies, the prospect of Messiah's coming yet one more time as the King of Kings to reign in triumphal majesty? I keep wondering, what would it be like today without our Messiah? Everyone, including all of nature, like Romans talks about, Romans 8, 20 and 21, will let out a burst of praise that has never been heard before. Here comes the King himself, our Lord and King, our Savior. That's where that song, Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.
Yeah.
All of that is coming true, is going to be happening, because God sent his Son to show us what God wanted us to know and see what he wanted us to learn. Now, I know not everybody's going to follow God's hope for them. But he has done everything he can to prove to you and to your friends and to your loved ones that he loves you and he wants to be with you. Even at this Christmas in 2016, he wants to envelop you with his presence. He wants to bring himself into the room where you're at right now listening. If you're in the car, if you're in the bedroom, if you're in the front room, wherever you might be listening to this program right now, he wants to join you. And if you can sense the presence of his Spirit walking into that room with you right now, realize he's calling out to you for his great love to come directly into your life. And he wants to fill you with his blessings. He wants to fill you with his goodness. He wants to give you the gifts for Christmas that are even better than the things wrapped under the tree.
Yes.
He wants to give you the gifts of his Spirit. He wants to fulfill his promises to you in every way, so that your trust in him will be completely fulfilled, and you will walk away with joy unspeakable.
Yes.
You know what? Right where you are today, I want you to know that you can know the Messiah today. He is worth everything you have ever considered, and he is waiting for you just like you may be waiting for him. He loves you.
Love and hope. I think those are the cornerstones of this Christmas season, all Christmas seasons, because that's what God provides through Jesus Christ.
And we're a part of it.
We
don't
are.
Have to just look back.
Right.
We're a part of it today.
Right now.
Isn't that incredible to know? Right here on Christ Today, we are not just talking about something that happened in the past. We're talking about what God is doing now, today, and in us and through us.
Yes.
And the incredible part for me is that God is not done. He still has more.
Oh, that's true.
He has more. So true. We don't have to stop and look back and say, oh, God, that was a nice stop sign you put up back there for people to stop and look at you.
Yeah.
No, he is trying to capture us today with his love and his mercy. Today, yes. He wants his Messiah to enjoin himself to you. By the way, in the Old Testament, every time it talks about the Messiah, the word that is used there is Yeshua in Hebrew. The word Yeshua means salvation, and it is the name that was given to Jesus, Yeshua, our salvation.
Our salvation. Oh, that is...
He is available for all.
A precious, precious message.
God is so good. Yes. Aren't you glad you know him, John?
Oh, yes.
That's where the joy to the world comes in.
And he is available to all who will listen.
That's right.
All who will accept
Put their
his,
trust in him.
Yeah, through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now that's something I would just touch on. Is there a moment to remind people what they need to do to trust in Jesus Christ? How do we accept Jesus Christ into our life? How do we accept this hope and say, yes, Lord, I choose Jesus. Jesus is at the door knocking. Oh, you tell it. You tell
That's
it, please.
Okay. You're saying exactly what's happening. People will sense God speaking to them. They will sense his presence close to them, and they will say, God, I recognize that you are who you say you are, and I give myself to you. To you, not just throw it out the wind, to the wind and hope something blows back in our face it's good. No, we absolutely say, God, I put my trust and my faith in you through your son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died to pay the penalty for your sins. All of us have sinned and come short of God's glory. But if you will put your trust in God's promised son, he will give you the free gift of eternal life. And you will never be sorry you did, because his way is perfect. His law is love, and he never gives up on us. He'll keep pursuing you till you say yes, hopefully. So we give ourselves to him.
Oh, that's so wonderful. It makes me happy. It makes me smile. This is wonderful. Now,
Praise
we just
Lord.
Have a minute left. Would you care to just give a prayer of thanksgiving? Pray to God and for this Christmas
Absolutely.
Time. Yes.
Almighty God, you, our Heavenly Father, who in love was willing to give your only Son for us to be able to be forgiven for sin, to be given a freedom of life that is beyond our expectations that the world teaches us about, I pray that you will bring hope and favor and life and joy into these people's hearts today, that they will experience your freedom and your forgiveness, that they will find a love for you and be able to express that love for you throughout this entire season. We thank you, God, for loving us, and we thank you for hearing our prayers, and I want to thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
And amen. Pastor Lloyd Tremaine, thank you very much, and if anyone would like to visit you at the Paradise Community Church of the Nazarene, it would be wonderful. What time is your service, by the way?
Our services are at 10:45 on Sunday mornings, except on Christmas Day and New Year's Day. It goes from 10 to 11.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
So we're at the corner of Skyway and Neal in Paradise.
Pastor Tremaine, thank you so very much for being here at Christ Today. It's
Amen.
A wonderful message. Merry Christmas
Merry
to all.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Okay.